just in the way she carries herself, it's clear that she's ready to be at this stage.
Formed a fantastic partnership very quickly with Conchita Martinez, former Wimbledon champion, the woman who was at the side of Garbina Muguruza during her great success over the past few years. As Andreeva, who missed a return with the second point and misses another there to give Paolini 30-15. They only started working together in April. It's worked. Although interesting yesterday to hear Andreeva say when asked about the tactics, well, we talk about things, but actually I forget it all when I go out on the court.
I can't remember anything.
I'm not sure what Martinez thought about that particular comment, but it's a reflection of the 17-year-old that she is. Now, forehand cross-court from Paolini, having to hook everything quite high up because of her diminutive stature, of course. Then she plays the drop shot. Andreeva read it, came in, but puts her backhand long.
Big fan of Andy Murray as well, of course. Mira Andreeva half wondered if Andreeva might, or even if Andy might ask her to play mixed at Wimbledon, because this could be Murray's last Wimbledon, may very well be, and he might fancy doing a bit of extra duty on his singles.
Well, we're talking about age gaps. That worked that out. 20 years between those two. Her serve is missing. And, I mean, she's risen so quickly. I was talking to Victor Friedrich, one of the British juniors, who is a little older than her, as Paolini serves to the backhand and then plays a forcing forehand cross-court down the line, but wide from Andreeva. So Paolini holds to 15. She'll settle herself. Vic has known Mira for a while. They have social media contact, or at least they did, and I saw him just now. He's very frustrated because his partner's had to pull out. They were due to play a doubles quarterfinal this afternoon, but he picked up an ab injury. So he's bitterly frustrated about that.
Shame.
But he was saying, I'm just wondering if I'll pluck up courage now to make contact with Mira again.
Oh, it's got to be worth a go, isn't it?
I'd have thought so.
She won't forget.
Hopefully not. I mean, one of the nice things that Conchita Martinez said when describing her was that she's very humble, she's very polite, she says good morning to everybody. And if Conchita Martinez has got anything to do with it, that will continue to be the case.
There's a message from Richard saying, our strange Aussie TV coverage continues tonight with our local broadcaster showing the first semi and then dropping out just this minute for an episode of the American true crime show, See No Evil. Mm. Instead of the second semi, thank God for Radio Roland Garros.
Interesting. Interesting editorial decision. Paolini is seeing her forehand go into the net with the first point on the Andreeva serve. I'm going to make an apology in advance. I've picked up, I don't know if it's hay fever or a bit of a cold, Simon. It's that horrible time where I may occasionally have to remove my microphone and blow my nose, so be on standby if you don't mind. I don't want to snuffle all over the world with everybody. High short return, Andreeva comes in, doesn't really take full advantage of the short ball, and then she has an air shot, misses it completely.
I mean, the ball shot low, didn't it? We saw one point the other night where the ball barely bounced. Actually just hit the clay and skidded completely through. I can't remember when that was, but it was you will get dodgy bounces. There are some.
Well, Zverev got certainly one of those last night when he was looking to return the ball. I mean, that's always my excuse, even if I'm playing on a pristine hard court. Did you see, how does it, I mean, I don't know what happened, but it was the bounce.
It's always the bounce, or the racket.
Of course it is. Off backhand now from Andreeva. She's going to the forehand side. She's going down the line with good depth and even better depth from Paolini. In fact, well, I'm not surprised that Andreeva has stopped the point. There was no call. Alison Hughes is coming down with the naked eye. It looked as though Paolini had gone long.
I watched... it is out, isn't it?
Yep.
I watched Dumanoir the other day. I was watching, not last night, but the round before against Medvedev. And some players are able to do this. There's a shot on the baseline, and he's sort of looking down as he hit it. And then he saw that his shot was going in, and he had another look while he was getting ready to play. And the time these guys have got.
Yeah. I mean, I did enjoy it. It's interesting, actually. I'll come back to you on that match last night because there have been mixed opinions about it. Right, backhand from Paolini down the middle of the court. This pattern's continuing until she goes across court to the double hander right onto the baseline. That's a winner for Andreeva. That's skidded up. No need for the umpire to go and check the call. The point goes to the server and she goes to 40-15. I found last night really interesting. I mean, I just love watching Dumanoir because he's a whirlwind.
So fast.
I read a couple of reports. People go, oh, what a shame both players were so off form. I thought that was very, very harsh.
Yeah, I didn't think that at all. I thought Dumanoir played very well. I think he explained afterwards how tough it is to play Zverev in cool conditions.
Drive volley gives Andreeva, the point and the game, so it's 1-1 after 5 minutes.
Because Zverev loves clay, he loves cool conditions, because he's 6'6" or whatever, 6'5", able to hit through the court anyway. And for Dumanor in those conditions, he couldn't do it. But I thought his speed was, I mean, I've watched him a lot, but his speed is phenomenal. Yeah. He was in about probably 50 rallies that he shouldn't have been in.
Yeah.
And he was aggressive too. He came forward well. I thought he did everything he could. He just didn't quite, if he'd taken that second set, could have gone on forever.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to, I have to say, backhand into the net with the plus one from Paolini. First point of the third game. Equally, I'm very impressed with the way Zverev is dealing with everything, and I know lots is going on in his life. He's had to come through 2 5-setters as well. Backhand cross-court return from Andreeva. Now she's playing the forehand to the forehand side of the Italian. Down the line from Andreeva. High kicking ball down the middle of the court. Now the forehand cross-court from Paolini. Up the line again from Andreeva. Good ball. It's put Paolini into trouble. And in comes Andreeva and puts away another very good forehand volley. She's pretty good at taking things out of the air.
You know the thing about Andreeva as well, she waved her fist in the direction of her team then, but she's not one to sort of look at her team every shot. She's not so worried about all that kind of thing. And that bodes well, because you need to be yourself out there. You're on your own. You've got a lot to deal with, a lot to figure out. And she's got such a great composure. I know sometimes she can go absolutely crazy on court. She certainly used to. But she seems to have got rid of that.
An interesting outburst from Coco Gauff in the first of the semi-finals as the off forehand from Paolini brushes the line. Andreeva's having a look at it, but she's not going to quibble, and it's 15-30.
I thought Gauff was correct on that point. She said that the call, which was overruled, had come before she hit the ball, and I think she was correct. And also, you know, it was, even if it hadn't, it was very harsh to give the point to Swiatek.
Returns long from Andreeva, so it's 1-1, 30-30. I mean, Coco, she can get quite feisty, and listening to Gigi and Eleanor, of course, doing the commentary, there were tears in Coco's eyes at the end of that exchange.
We were just talking about that in the media room. She doesn't like confrontation, although she will stand up for herself really well. When it happens, she'll get emotional, and that's totally understandable, because it is, you know, what she said to the umpire was, this is a Grand Slam semi-final, the rules.
Yeah. Forehand return into the net from Andreeva off her return. And to be fair to Aurélie Tort, she's a terrific umpire who does know the rules. But I think we can forgive Coco.
I think there is a good example of one of the pieces of technology that should come into tennis, is the umpire should have video technology just to look back at that call and see, oh, yeah, you're right, it did come before. OK, play a let.
Great shout. And not that difficult to organise, really. 40-30, Paolini with the 118 kilometre an hour second serve. It was to the backhand of Andreeva, who's now sliced a forehand deep. She goes cross court with a flatter ball, so does Paolini. Andreva's there again, maintaining the same rhythm until Paolini goes down the line, forcing Andreeva just to lunge at that one. She can't control the ball. We've had three games, we've had three holds of serve. We're 9 minutes in, and we have no idea who's going to play Iga Swiatek in the final tomorrow. Well, actually, no one's going to play her in the final tomorrow, because it's not happening until Saturday. We've got two men's semi-finals to bring you on Radio Roland Garros tomorrow. And, of course, we'll be here for the final on Saturday afternoon.
I shouldn't mention technology on the day that the Premier League vote to keep VAR. 19 of the 20 voted in favour.
Who was the one team?
Wolves.
It was Wolves. Good on you, Wolves.
Wolves are the one who asked for the vote in the first place. I think they've issued some sort of guidance as to making sure that the threshold for getting involved should be high, etc. But it needs to be better run, that's for sure. So,
what I don't understand about that, though, Simon, is that there have been so many complaints and so many managers going crazy. Supporters hate it. Why didn't one other club at least back Wolves?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's just the details of what they were suggesting. I think a lot of them want the correct decisions to be made. If you knew that it would be made within 30 seconds and it's not going to get involved in shady offside rules, there is going to be that semi-automatic offside rule that comes into football next year. I think when you've got technology in sport, you just want a quick, correct decision. You can't have wrong decisions even when you've got the technology, and you can't have shady ones. So that's why I don't think they haven't brought it in yet for second bounce. For two bounces in tennis, for example, because that's still, even when you look at it on the screen, you're not sure.
No. And the other scandalous thing about that, as Mira Andreeva goes long with her plus one shot, first point of the fourth game, the other scandalous thing about that is that certainly if you go to a Premier League game, you pay a lot of money. And when there's a VAR incident, you sit there having absolutely no idea what is going on. And tennis at least gets it right. When there's a quibble, when there's a dispute, we can all watch on the screen. Very quickly, it's resolved. And the paying public, who are sometimes, I think, totally overlooked, know exactly what's happening. And they've got to sort that out in the stadiums. That looked a very, very deep second serve from Andreeva, but it's called in and the backhand returns long.
Yeah, I mean, you just want it to be right and you want to know what's going on. And I think that was one part of the agreement, that it should be clearer. The referee will tell people what's going on, but we shall see.
Mind you, the other one strange thing, we will not talk football. This is a tennis semi-final. Andreeva goes long there. Going to Anfield, your ground the other day, you haven't got any big screens.
Who needs big screens?
Exactly the times we've just been talking about. It's a wonderful stadium as Andreeva goes wide.
You can't let other fans know that a dodgy penalty might have been dodgy.
Well, that's exactly what it is. More dodgy penalties given at Anfield over the past 30 years anywhere else, or maybe rivaling Old
Trafford.
Totally
not true. Maybe Man United is like 10 times worse than everyone else.
Okay, Liverpool, Man U, they hate each other.
We had a period of about 2 years with no penalties. Penalty.
We only had one last season,
I think.
You
have to get in the box first.
It's 1-2, 15-30, forehand, wide, cross-court and wide from Paolini.
We haven't talked much about Paolini yet. I think, you know, she's had an incredible run to the semi-final, guaranteed to be in the top 10 after this. Had a very good clay court season all round. I think one in Dubai as well.
Yes.
Just looking at a picture of, I think, Svetlana Kuznetsova in the stands, in the box, watching Andreeva. She's not to be underestimated in this match by any means. And the thing I like about her, and the thing that makes me think that she will not freeze on this occasion, and she's certainly not already, is that her game is very much suited to just, you know, playing consistently, use a lot of spin, a lot of margin over the net. She's not going to blast loads of unforced errors. So the onus is on Andreeva to attack, but Paolini will just play her game.
Well, Paolini has an opportunity here to make the first inroads into this semi-final, because she has a breakpoint opportunity. Andreeva's serving at 1-2, 30-40. Bright sunshine. Looks up and goes long with that first serve, which is flicked back to the other end of the court by Paolini. A ball boy nips out from the corner, grabs it. He's in position. The second serve comes. Paolini runs round onto it, hits an off forehand, really up the middle of the court. Now she's back into a central position. She's playing lower cross court to the forehand of Andreeva, who goes down the line. Backhand down the middle of the court now from Andreeva. No pace on the ball from either player. And then it's Andreeva who tries to up the pace. Went with a snappy off forehand, but she nets. And the first break of this semi-final, Simon Cambers, belongs to Jasmine Paolini.
Yep, just earned by consistency, wasn't it? She hasn't gone for anything yet, hasn't needed to. She's just testing out Andreeva's patience. And on that occasion, it broke down.
Paolini's the fourth Italian woman to make the semi-finals at Roland Garros in the Open era, after Francesco Schiavone, Sara Errani, and Martina Trevisan. She serves to the backhand. Very good deep return from Andreeva, who then goes for the off forehand. She's pummeling that corner, slice on the backhand, and long from Paolini.
Haven't seen any drop shots from either player yet, and I would expect to see that soon as they start, you know, sort of settling better. Andreeva's getting a lot of power on the ground strokes, pushing Paolini back. There is room.
Paolini, long with that first serve. She's won five matches in a row on clay for the first time in her career. Her previous best efforts on this surface, a runners-up spot at Palermo last year. The return is out from Andreeva.
We get so many emails and tweets. It's fantastic to have all your company. I love the ones that just have messages that the title is their name. Steve. Right, I'm going to read this. Steve.
Well, what's Steve got to say? We'll find out in a moment. Backhand from Paolini. The forehand is whipped across court. Shortish angle from Andreeva gives her some space to go down the line, and that works. Defending behind her baseline with a slice backhand, Paolini nets.
Yeah, good use of spin and angle from Andreeva there. Yeah, Steve says, tried to listen to Radio Roland Garros. I'm just one of my echo dots. However, it decided to play on all three of my echo dots throughout the entire house. Laugh out loud, that's funny. So yeah, he was playing it on one of his contraptions, echo dots, and then it played it on all three in the house. So it's everywhere. We're everywhere.
Yeah, you cannot escape us. And if you've got the app, wherever you go, we can go with you. So stay with us for the remainder of Roland Garros 2024 as Paolini serves to the backhand and has got a shortish ball which she was trying to attack. It did jump up at her a little bit. She isn't a tall woman, of course. She nets, and here straight away are break back opportunities for the 17-year-old.
We saw last night, didn't we, with Dumanur and Zverev, that both men were struggling from one end where the wind, they were serving into the wind, hitting into the wind. Not sure which way the wind is going. Can't tell from the lack of flags above us, but it could be an end situation as well.
Well, it's a backhand return from Andreeva. Here she has her opponent at 15-40, looking to hit straight back after being broken. She's having to wait for a flighted ball, and another one now from Paolini down the middle of the court. Back it goes down the line from Andreeva. Then she changes the angle, but she just goes long, looking again, as Simon was saying, to move her opponent around, to wait for the opportunity. Perhaps she just snatched at that one a little bit, but she still has another break point to try and capitalise upon.
I was thinking of Svetlana Kuznetsova in the house. She used to be quite funny to deal with as press. There's some interesting occasions with her.
Feisty, was she?
Yeah, if she wasn't in the mood.
Backhand down the line and wide from Andreeva, so 15-40 becomes juice.
Some of the WTA tournaments used to have a media access hour where the big names would be put around tables and people would just flip between them, and it was great. We could have nice informal chats. And I remember walking towards Svetlana. She was sat on the table on her own. I got to about 10 feet away and she goes, "What?"
Oh, dear.
I didn't go any closer.
No, very sensible. High backhand cross court from Paolini. Now she's got that awkward off forehand, which she does deal with. She'll go cross court, changes the angle. Good defense from Andreeva. She's put up a high ball. Paolini lets it bounce. Then she decides not to smash it, but just lofts it back to the forehand wing of her opponent. Backhand down the middle of the court now. Backhands from both players, and the one from Paolini is just a fraction long. She's not sure. She's having
close.
A word with the umpire. Alison Hughes, I think somewhat reluctantly, is coming down off her chair to have a look.
Yeah, I thought it was close. She was a very flat hit, so it could have just flown too far. I think the umpires, when they get down there all that way and it's out, they think, I told you it was out.
Yeah, probably.
I didn't want to go down there in the first place.
It's a warm afternoon. Alison has dispensed with her jacket, so she's got a white shirt on. The blue trousers that are so very smart. Of course, Roland Garros, you expect all the umpires and officials to be decked out nicely. A bit of luck there from Paolini as her forehand cracked against the top of the tape and really did take its time, the ball, to decide which side to come down. It went over.
Hit the net twice. Hit the net once and then bounced on top of the net. Very lucky on a break point.
Yeah, so that's three break points that have come and gone for Mira Andreeva. Sun's beating down again. Every now and then it just disappears briefly behind a cloud. Paolini serves to the forehand, whipped back across court. And Andreeva is then going down the line, but again she's just missing.
Sometimes gets a bit close to that forehand on the when she's in the forehand corner. Pushes it wide a little.
Mentioned that Paolini is the fourth Italian woman to reach the semi-finals here. She's hoping to become the third to get to the showpiece event. Backhand reply with no pace on it from Andreeva, who goes again to the backhand side of the Italian. We'll see her double-hander once more with more pace. And into the net from Andreeva. So she did have three break-back point opportunities. She couldn't convert any of them. And she goes back to her chair with Jasmine Paolini leading by 4-1.
Yeah, needed that little bit of luck on the forehand to get two bounces over the top of the net, but good start from Paolini, and Andreeva just trying to figure out her game plan, it feels like. Maybe she should have listened to Conchita Martinez. Hope she did. But just making a few errors when it's important. A message from Lizzie says, "Sorry, Marcus, to hear you're not feeling 100%. Also curious, what was learned about Sabalenka? Is she doing better? Well, late last night, she issued a statement through the WTA where she said she'd been suffering from a stomach bug of some sort for a few days. So that was obviously an unfortunate timing for her. To have that, but it sounds like she'll be back pretty soon, which is good.
Well, there definitely has been a bug. I mentioned at the start of this week a number of the British juniors went down with it. That has spread. I know that a couple of the American juniors have been hit. And no real surprise if from the juniors, because they often are, although their locker rooms are actually in Suzanne Longland, so they're not near the big name stars who camp out in Chatrier, but it is quite easy for these bugs to start jumping around. And what an awful day for it to attack Sabalenka. What an extraordinary day it was, really, to see both Sabalenka and Rybakina lose in the quarterfinals, the two players who you feel could put Iga Świątek under real pressure. They have done so, of course, on several occasions in the past, but instead it's going to be one of these two on Saturday to attempt to prevent this year's Roland Garros from becoming Poland Garros again, as Andreeva wins the first point of the sixth game with the first set.
Poland Garros, it's a good one, isn't it? Of course, today's D-Day.
It is.
Just to mention, if it hasn't been mentioned already today, lots of celebrations going on, commemorations.
Yeah. A lot of television coverage as well on the French national broadcasting channels, paying suitable respect as this point just develops. We haven't had many lengthy rallies, it has to be said, but there's a fizzing forehand off the racket of Paolini. She goes across court. Andreeva looking relatively untroubled, adding a bit of pace to her own ground strokes, then changing up, going to the backhand, and then having to deal, dealing really well with a deep ball from Paolini that didn't really get off the ground. And when Andreeva's bounced at the other end, it barely got off the ground as well, sneaked underneath the defences of the Italian.
Perhaps a little lucky. I think she was a little bit late in hitting that ball, a bit cramped, and the backhand came off at a slightly unusual angle and then lost its pace, so maybe that explains why it didn't bounce so much, but did well to withstand the attack from Paolini.
She needs a good hold here, and she's got to 30 love, and now she's playing, I think, the first drop shot of the contest. Maybe she won't play another one for a while, because that backhand effort droops rather apologetically into the net.
Yeah, good idea, though. I mean, she was in a good position to play the drop shot. I think she just missed it, but it was a good choice. I hope she doesn't go away from it, because that's a good shot. Paolini was a long way back.
Well, it's also a fantastic tactic, particularly on a clay court. I do love it. I mean, some players, of course, we get Ons Jabeur, for example, you're going to get them all the time. There's another one. Paolini's going to get to that one, but she misses as she goes back across court. Andreeva was covering the line. I think, though, Paolini perhaps should have done a bit better with that.
Well, she got there in plenty of time. She slid it into the ball really nicely and then just rolled it cross court. We've got a dog. We've got a visitor.
It's Nepia.
Ah.
It was here a couple of days ago. Bonsoir. No, not yet bonsoir. Bonjour, Nepia.
I'm waving at him. But I think as a guide dog, that's probably why
that's
she's
why
not
she's
responding.
She's turned her back on these struggles.
As a guide dog, they're not supposed to leave their owner anyway, so that's a good idea.
Paolini steps into a big backhand. It's sliced back into play by Andreeva. She's having to deal with a lot of power from Paolini, and the drive volley's a winner.
It's been a pretty impressive start from Paolini. Doesn't at all look fazed by the occasion. I think all these wins that she's been accumulating, she just has the confidence. And, you know, playing, as you said, she's not playing a Sabalenka or a Rybakina or a big name. Obviously not a Świątek, and huge opportunity for both players, but Paolini will think this is her time.
Backhand reply to the forehand side of Andreeva, who's going on to the double hander, taking the pace off the ball. Club back though by Paolini, and an error, another error on the backhand wing from Andreeva. And from 40-15, she's pegged back to juice.
Yeah, a few too many, from her point of view, a few too many unforced errors so far. Andreeva creating good opportunities, but just making mistakes.
Both players on court for almost exactly the same amount of time to reach this semi-final. 8 hours and 45 minutes for Paolini, 3 minutes less for Andreeva. As she goes down the line with her forehand, she's there again, same shot. Stretch from Paolini to get the ball. Now the changes. Andreeva came forward with a very menacing approach shot. It was too hot to handle for Paolini.
Yeah, that was only her sixth, if it wasn't even an unforced error, but there's been 13 unforced errors from Andreeva to the five of Paolini, so that shows you that she's going for it a bit, but she is also missing.
Andreeva dropped two sets en route to the semi-final, one, of course, against Sabalenka, the other against a very experienced Victoria Azarenka in a match that finish very, very late. That was a second round encounter. Eventually, Andreeva got through it 7-5 in the third. Oh, that's a second serve ace right down the middle. Everybody had a little look. Paolini's now going right up to the line to have a closer look. I'm sure she'll rub it away. She does. Just for a moment, she was hoping for a late call. It didn't come. We had the hold, and Paolini will now serve at 4-2.
Yeah, a little bit lucky, but brave serve down the tee to change up from Andreeva. Message from Else, who says, listening in the car coming home. I don't know where you are, Else, although not sure, but it says schools are closed now until September already. Must be in the US somewhere. Wow. Drop shot. Nice.
Yep. Paolini with her first drop shot. Andreeva gets to it, and she gets to the second volley as well. The lob is a good one. Back she goes. She'll put up a high ball. Paolini's underneath it. She's rushing back, but she won't have to do anything because that attempted defensive lob from Mira Andreeva lands wide.
Yeah, good to see Paolini using the drop shot as well. I thought Andreeva got there well, but just didn't put the volley away. Andreeva is pretty good at the net normally.
Starting to warm up, though. Both players being a little more adventurous.
Hayden wants to know, is that really a stomach bug for Sabalenka, or has Marcus been passing out strawberry sandwiches?
Not guilty, I promise. Forehand, deep across court, and Andreeva's had to pick up an awkward ball on a forehand wing, and it goes long, and just a little flicker of teenage irritation after that.
Yeah, a bit exasperated. How dare you hit the line?
I've got this devious plan. I'll let Simon in on it. Gigi already knows, but we're going to take this dodgy loaf of bread, and we're going to put a couple of slices in the bread basket later. Dim the lights a bit and see if Bowers falls for it. Backhand returns into the net from Andreeva, and now as she wanders forward, she's just gesticulating a little. First towards box and then at the line. She's thinking, the lines are against me. How dare she keep finding, be it my baseline or my service line.
Free bread, I think it's got a chance.
I think so. 40 love, off forehand return. Paolini winds herself up for the same sort of shot. And she goes flat right down the middle of the court. She runs back to play another one of those to the double hander of Andreeva, who clips the top of the tape. Paolini is again running around onto that forehand, now playing the inside in, making Andreeva work closely and then work brilliantly to go back behind Paolini, who kept trying to run round onto her forehand, but eventually was undone by that tactic.
Yeah, smart change-up in the middle of the rally from Andreeva. She just played a loopy high ball, but with good depth, so that Paolini couldn't attack it. And then that's probably the best forehand she's hit cross-court, Andreeva.
The two Italian women who have made it to the Roland Garros final in the Open era are Schiavone, who won it in 2010 and was runner-up a year later, and Sara Errani, who was the runner-up in 2012. So it's been more than 10 years. But Italian tennis is ruling the world at the moment. Paolini not ruling that particular point, though. She puts a pretty moderate forehand cross-court into the net.
Alex makes a pretty good point that Paolini did, in fact, beat Rybakina, of course. I said she's not playing a Rybakina in the semis, but you know what I mean. She's not playing a big name in a semi-final with such stuff at stake, such big stakes to worry about. But yeah, good point.
That was her third top five victory yesterday for Jasmine Paolini. Who's onto her backhand. The off forehand from Andreeva. She's not having to move too much during this rally. She's peppering the backhand. Now she's going onto the backhand side herself down the line. Deep ball long from Paolini, who's got to be a little careful herself now. She's been pegged back to deuce here, serving at 4-2 in the first set.
Yeah, that second serve ace might prove to be pretty crucial for Andreeva. Now she's been able to put a bit of pressure on Paolini. I think she's starting to get a feel for what she needs to do. She's basically keep the ball off the forehand of Paolini, which is dangerous. She can really rip it cross-court.
Big point for Andreeva in particular, and the first serve goes into the net. Ricochets back quite a long way, so a ball boy with a cap on does what he has to do, settles again, Second serve comes to the forehand. It's sitting up a little bit. Deep return. She didn't really go after it. She looked more for position than power. Now the slice backhand. Now the mid-court ball thumped hard on the forehand wing by Andreeva, who guides it again right onto Paolini's baseline. Then plays the off backhand, and it's a winner. And there are definite signs that the 17-year-old is really coming to life now.
She buries the pace so well, does Andreeva. In the middle of that rally again, she just rolled a backhand, which pulled Paolini out of court. And then eventually having space to hit down the line. It's just really smart play for somebody so young, especially.
So another opportunity to get back on serve in this first set. She's replied down the middle with her backhand. She's stretching just a little bit. It's a loose ball. She was hurried into that one just a little bit. It goes long, and these break points keep coming and going from her grasp.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You mentioned her sort of looking a bit like a teenager at times. She doesn't want to keep missing too many of these.
Minutes on the clock. 4-2 in juice. Paolini to the backhand. The return's down the middle of the court, and a slapped off forehand from Paolini's straight into the net.
It's one of the few times she's really tried to go for it. She's been content to just be patient, work the point. Went for it a bit too much.
Will this be the moment that Andreeva finally unlocks the door to the Paolini serve? She's applied to the forehand side. She's there again. That ball skidded up at her just a little bit. Now Andreeva goes cross-court on her backhand. The drop shot from Paolini. It's brilliant. What a time to play it. What a time to execute it.
Yeah, really nicely played. It was inside the baseline when she chose to play it. Spotted Andreeva a bit behind the baseline. Andreeva was quick to get up to it, but it was very nicely played. Cut underneath the ball and across it. So the ball spun away. One of those ones where you think you're going to get it, you get near it, and then it moves to the side as well.
Yeah, incredibly frustrating. It's five break points now that have come and gone for Andreeva. It's juice at 4-2. This forehand return again has no pace on it. As Simon was saying, it's very clever the way she mixes things up, but she's got a little mixed up herself there, Andreeva, and the backhand flies long. Relatively becalmed centre court at the moment as Paolini serves to the backhand, which goes across court. Now she's there again. Well, she was going to have to shovel an awkward half volley from just behind her baseline. There was Andreeva, but the call came about. She indicates where it is. Alison Hughes again, after a customary delay, has decided to come and have a look for
it's
herself.
It's definitely out. I mean, it's quite a long way out, I think.
Well, she's persuaded her to look, and she raises the finger.
Surprised us what one of the other fingers in Paolini's direction. I'm not going down there again.
Yes. They're keeping her involved, shall we say. And of course, on top of the awkward walk, she's got the camera protruding from her ear. Did see a good angle of that actually last night. So once they get it to work, maybe it'll be a welcome addition. Andy Murray is very, very suspicious about it at the moment. Oh, that forehand is right on the line from Paolini, who wheels around and raises her right fist towards her box. What a significant moment to produce that.
Andy Murray rarely gets involved on Twitter, but when he does, he tends to... He's very good on there.
Yeah.
Did you see his trolling of poor Liam Brody the other day?
Oh, yes. That's been a regular occurrence. But yeah, one line normally, but it's a withering one-liner as a rule from Murray. That's a good serve. The return is wide from Andreeva, and Paolini, having flirted with trouble again, having had to deal with five break points, is still perfect on serve. And in a moment, it's going to be Mira Andreeva who will have to serve to stay in the set.
I think it was something like Liam Brody put on Twitter that he had some news that he'd accidentally hit his head on his car door.
Yes.
And he ended up trying to play, realised that actually he's got concussion, so he can't play next week. And to which Andy Murray put underneath, I think that's the first one of your tweets that I've actually believed. Poor Liam, you know, he's trying to, a few years ago, he's sort of getting better and better and better, getting close to the top 100, and he was being round Davis Cup, around Murray, around the big players, and there's Murray just giving him a hard time all the time.
I must say, though, having been lucky enough to be at the NTC on a few occasions when the Davis Cup team, or just some of the top Brits, are there, fantastic relationship between most of them. Real sense of camaraderie, and Andy Murray is in the thick of it all. And if you speak to any of the youngsters, the younger players, and not always the youngest young ones, but anyone who wants to get a word of advice from him, he is there to help. And one day I think he could be a fantastic coach for somebody if he should so wish.
Definitely. Quick question about the official word from Novak on his knee surgery. When do you think a likely return for him would be? That's from Tessa. Well, I think it's incredibly unlikely that he plays Wimbledon. So Olympics is the best bet, and that could be a push too.
Well, as Andreeva begins this important game, she's serving to stay in the first set. She's hooking her plus one to the off forehand of Jasmine Paolini, who then flattens things out. Oh, that's terrific though from Andreeva. She just leant into her double hander and hits a winner. I still think, Simon, bearing in mind what we saw from Djokovic the other day, that I wouldn't be the least bit surprised in a couple of months or so to see a medal round Novak's neck.
Well, it's the only thing he hasn't won, isn't it? A gold medal in singles at the Olympics. So,
he loves a challenge, and obviously it's awful timing. And I think those people who were very quick to criticise him a few days ago during that match against Cirundolo will be feeling a little bit foolish at the moment. Big off forehand from Andreeva. Goes back into the same place. Paolini is there watching, ready to go in either direction. She has to stretch again on her double hander. Now she'll have to go the other way, but then she stops the halt, or the run. She halts the run, whatever I'm trying to say, because the forehand cross court from Andreeva is into the net.
Yeah, another forehand error from Andreeva, this time going cross court. She's been peppering the backhand a lot, but just trying to change it up. She just needs to hit with a little bit more spin, manoeuvre Paolini and be patient.
15-0, first serve into the net. Second serve is to the backhand, and it's a lofted reply that goes long from Paolini, who won't be concerned if this match goes wrong, because three of her five contests en route to the semi-finals went to three sets against Bianca Andreescu. She won 6-love in the third against Alina Avanesyan. She won 6-1 in the third, and then, of course, against Elena Rybakina yesterday. And she eventually came through 6-4 in the decider. Backhand now, that's a shortish return. And in comes Andreeva. She's looking at a high ball. She's playing a really unconvincing overhead. That gets Paolini back into the point. And then a pretty average, to say the least, drop shot from Andreeva. And from a position of authority in that rally, two poor shots, certainly in terms of technique. Costa.
Yeah, changed her mind on the smash, didn't get up for the smash, ended up having to hit it sort of almost like a frying pan. And then the drop shot was almost an afterthought on the baseline, more like a sort of junior response.
2 points potentially from losing this set, and she'll be very relieved, Wilmira Andreeva, to see that return. She took Paolini out wide on her forehand, and the lofted return was long. So a game point to reduce the arrears to 5-3. Having a look at the run of Andreeva, of course, 6-4 in the third yesterday in that strange match against Aryna Sabalenka, who, you know, right from the word go, you could tell there was something wrong with her, but she doesn't quit to Sabalenka, to be fair to her. That's a deep return and a belated call of long. Andreeva rings the mark, and guess what? Jasmine Paolini wants Alison Hughes to get down off her chair. Again?
She doesn't want to do it.
I'm not going to. No, Jasmine.
She was holding her little fingers up with very little distance between them, just out. She's going, well, go on, then have a look. No.
Not this time. So a hold. Andreeva's done the first part of the equation. She's asking the question of Jasmine Paolini, but the 28-year-old now has a chance to serve out this first set. And it's a good deep first serve, and the off forehand with the plus one under pressure. Paolini is able to come in and hammer the mid-court ball, which was all that Andreeva could conjure up.
I'm not sure what the etiquette is in terms of asking the umpire to come down. You can't, they don't have to, I don't think. Well, they definitely don't have to. But if you just stood there and said, well, no, look, you keep, you know, you get down there and have a look at it, I'm not playing until you do, what would the umpire do?
Well, it's quite brave to do that with Alison Hughes.
Yeah, well, quite.
Backhand to backhand, then the off forehand from Paolini, and Andreeva's trying to go down the line, but she missed. You heard the call. Very experienced Alison Hughes. She's been in the game for a long time. But it is a tough job, as we saw in the first of the semi-finals today. Just one moment can explode. You've got to be focused the whole time. Pallini serving out wide to the forehand. Good return cross-court. Lovely forehand cross-court in return from Paolini, who's hitting the ball pretty sweetly and finding good depth. And, of course, as soon as I say that, she puts a backhand up the line into the net.
Yeah, there's not much rhythm to the match at the moment. Sort of occasional errors. Like last game, I think Paolini gave away a couple of simple return errors. Andreeva still making too many unforced errors, 17 in total. But not altogether surprising.
No.
Semi-final for the first time for both of them.
Absolutely. It's not a classic. I don't think we expected it, but it could become very intriguing. But that backhand return is into the net, and Andreeva turns around, raises both arms towards Conchita Martinez and her box. That irritation is mounting. No wonder she's facing two set points. 41 minutes played. Three bounces of the ball from Paolini. Up it goes. She's serving to the backhand, and the return is long. And Jasmine Paolini is halfway towards her first ever Grand Slam final. Of course, one of these two is going to experience that in a couple of days. The response from Mira Andreeva to losing this set is to pick up her bag, look across at her box again, clear irritation, and head off court for a change of clothes.
Yeah, I think she'll just be frustrated with herself for making these so many relatively simple mistakes. Been involved in lots of rallies, lots of points where she thought she should have won them and then just made an error. So just needs to calm those down a little bit and then she'll be right in there. There's a message from Red Sox Devil about Coco Gauff. And basically, it's quite a long message, Red Sox. I'm just going to paraphrase it. What kind of advice would Brad give to Coco next time? Because Brad Gilbert, renowned as a very good tactical coach, what can he do? It's now 11-1 head-to-head. It's amazing they played each other so many times already, but it's a very one-sided battle, and there's got to be some way of changing things around. But what can he do?
Well, it's tough.
Good question.
The other thing she's got to bear in mind, okay, it's an awful head-to-head record, but not going to find many people who've got good head-to-head records against Świątek. There was an interesting point, two interesting points actually were made during the commentary of the first match. There was a listener who tweeted in and said, well, it's known that, you know, Coco's second serve is fragile, but she's got to look at the first serve more, because if she can get more power and consistency with that, she won't have to worry quite so much about the second serve, which I thought was a good point.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, you know, somebody really good, I mean, I think it was a tennis coach, was saying, you know, she's got to get in, she's got to try and move Iga around, this, that and the other, which all sounds good, but it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to execute it.
I think it was at the US Open when, obviously, Gauff won last year. She was absolutely bashing that first serve. She was just trying to get as many points off the first serve and not really worry about the second. It wasn't that she was doing loads of double faults, but she won a lot of matches in three sets. She fought really hard, as she always does. I think that she's sort of... they're working out the percentages between taking a bit of pace off the first serve and, you know, going that way, or actually just looking for free points on the first serve. Mm.
Well, looking at her service percentages in that match, she was only getting 52% of first serves into play. She was winning 70% of those, only winning 32% on second serve, which obviously is a worrying stat. You compare that with a consistent Świątek, who's getting 67% of first serves into play. She's winning 64%. So down on Coco's percentage, but 67% of second serve points were being won by the Pole.
I mean, she's got a very good second serve, and she's also incredibly imposing when you're hitting a second serve to her. She's on the baseline, standing right on top of it, looking to whack it, be aggressive, and just the pressure, especially with Gauff, when she knows that a second serve is not as reliable at the moment as it should be. That's just the pressure that's going to lead to problems. Even if you get your serve in, you're probably taking a bit too much off it, and then it's even more attackable.
Andreeva's back, and the other interesting stats there, obviously Coco knew that, you know, she couldn't just sit back and hope. She had to be proactive. 27 winners to Świątek's 10. Mm. But then you look at the unforced error count, and I know you're not a massive fan of unforced errors, and I agree with you that there's ways to try and
a good indication
work that out. But 39 unforced errors from Gauff, only 14 from Iga Świątek.
Yeah, and for somebody as aggressive as her, that's amazing. There's a message from Alex saying, is Jasmine or Mira the tougher matchup for Iga? Well, I don't think Iga's going to be losing too much sleep about either, to be honest.
I don't think she is.
I think Well, it's interesting. And Paolini's the more consistent, but Andreeva has the more options.
Well, the second serve's underway. Andreeva is serving and just having a look at some of the figures here. We've talked about the unforced errors coming off Andreeva's racket. 17 in that first set. And you compare that to just 6 from Paolini. And yet, Andreeva's only hit one more winner. 7-6.
Question from Harry. Enjoying the coverage while travelling home from Bridlington in Leeds, having had a very pleasant holiday. That's good. Something I was curious about. I'm wondering when and where Marcus developed his skills in doing ball-by-ball commentary for tennis on the radio in particular, which is very hard. Was it Radio 5? He says, Gigi, Marcus, Simon, Chris, I quite like that order, are all excellent and among the best in the business. Keep up the amazing work. That's a good question, Marcus.
That's very kind, very kind. Glad you had a good holiday, first of all, as Andreeva is already starting to berate herself after just 2 points of this second set. She's just put a slice forehand into the net, so she's serving at 15-all. Yeah, cut my teeth at, local radio, and then Radio 5 Live is where I first started to do ball-by-ball commentary, and it's not easy. And there are those days, most of the days are like this for me, where no matter what you're trying to say, the words just don't come out. You speak absolute gibberish. And it's all the more nerve-wracking if you know that people are watching on television while listening to you, because you can't get away with it then either. But it's a lot of fun as well. There's a good short angle from Andreeva. Then she drills a backhand down the middle of the court. She's there again, going down the line to the forehand of Paolini, who nets, and she shows a little bit of, what do you say? I mean, I hate being stereotypical, but what are they? Italian, no, come on. That was silly.
Yeah, it's just gesticulating a bit too much. I mean, strange thing to do when you just won the first set. Should be just keeping focus. She knows, I think probably the frustration, she knows she needs to stay on top of Andreeva and make sure that she doesn't give her any chances. I mean, there are times doing ball by ball, from my point of view, and I do nowhere near as much as you do, that you just feel like you're saying the same thing all the time.
Yes.
Like the same phrases.
Yes.
And you can hear it. And you're like, oh no, I need to change that.
Well, that is very true. Unfortunately, it's almost impossible to escape from that because most of the shots are pretty much the same. You've got a forehand or a backhand, it's going to be down the line, cross court or whatever. And then you try to be a little more creative or descriptive, and that's when you tend to get yourself into trouble as Andreeva goes to 40-15.
You try and summarise the rally in the middle of the rally and then forget where it's gone.
And I think, you know, depending on the speed of the rally, if you try and cover every point, you're just going to confuse people. But hopefully we're painting a reasonably clear picture for you of this second women's semi-final at Roland Garros 2024. And we've got a double hander down the middle of the court from Paolini, the off forehand from Andreeva. Now she's onto her backhand, again to the double hand of the Italian, just brushed the baseline, the point continues, great depth again from Paolini, high defensive ball from Andreeva, the drive volley's a winner from Jasmine Paolini.
Wow, that forehand is a really big weapon, Paolini. She just lays the wrist back so far, gets a lot of wrist snap, a lot of torque in it, and it The drive volley was brilliant technique.
She's great to watch. Fun to listen to afterwards as well, that bubbly personality. 40-30, Andreeva with her back to us. And that return was right on the line, but so is Andreeva's backhand down the line. That's a good way to close out your opening service game in the second set. She may feel just a little better after that, as the sun disappears behind a cloud.
Yeah, there are not many clouds around, but it has found one. A message from Jill. I've been listening and enjoying your commentary since the beginning of the tournament, but I'm very annoyed that you relentlessly refer to forehands as off forehands. There is no such term. I've been playing and teaching tennis for over 55 years, so my opinion is based on experience. Also, I'm watching the matches and play them back when you call a forehand as off. There's nothing off about it. Thank you for considering to find a more accurate term. I don't know where the term off forehand... I'm wondering if it's cricket,
well,
or the offside.
We had the very same question last night, what is an off forehand? And I said, yeah, well, if you go to cricket, you have, you mid-off, you drive the ball through mid-off, that sort of thing. But what was the name of the...
Joan.
What would Joan like us to call it instead?
Inside out, inside forehand,
out,
maybe?
Inside out, yeah, okay.
From the inside to out. She's not saying that, but it's possible.
Well, it's the same thing. There is an inside out forehand from Paolini. It's a winner.
There you go. There you go, Joan. If you've got a better term for it, we can start using it.
Yeah, but just don't confuse us.
Don't come up with something weird.
Love 15.
Like Wang forehand on me.
Oh dear. Or it's 15 love.
I wonder if it is from cricket though, because it does. You know, when you're a cricketer, if you think of when you're standing sideways on, if you're a right-hander, anything to your right is the offside. Yeah. Anything to your left is leg side.
Yeah. Or the onside. So,
or the onside, yeah. Off and on.
Yeah. Paolini, love one, 15 love. High kicking serve. And now slice, extravagant slice on the forehand from Androva. And perhaps partly because of that, Paolini is just a little confused, caught in two minds perhaps, and she nets.
Yeah, and you've got to remember, again, it's the first semi-final for both, and she's thinking, I'm a set-up. I'm quite close here.
Oh, don't think like that, Jasmine.
Exactly.
Stay in the present.
It's so difficult, though.
Put that little hoop around you, and then when the point's finished, jump out of it, and then jump back into it. It's one of the tricks they try. Backhand now to the forehand of Paolini. She mistimes that altogether, didn't really move her feet. Paolini knows, as Simon mentioned, that she is going to climb into the world's top 10, irrespective of what happens today. If she loses today, she will be at 10. If she makes the final, she climbs to 7. If she wins the final, she'll be 5 in the world.
Joan's got a fan in Max.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
He doesn't like off forehand either.
Max Wadsworth, our statistician, the Earl of Barnes, as he likes to call himself. If he doesn't like it, we'll use it more. Shortish ball for Paolini to try and attack on her backhand side. She does just that. She's going to take another ball out of the air, and she's so, so good at doing that.
Definitely likes going cross-court with that drive volley. Yeah, Andreeva, you might be starting to spot that. But it was good aggression in that point. And Andreeva on the back foot quite a lot. Lizzie asks, can the receiver get a time violation if they're holding up the server too long? It's a good question. They can certainly get told to hurry up. I don't know if they can actually get warned.
Well, that was a little bit the incident last night, of course, with Zverev getting very frustrated as the backhand from Mira Andreeva goes into the net. Cue some more signs of frustration. Zverev got a time violation at one point in, was it the second set, I think? And then he became embroiled in quite a lengthy conversation with the umpire because he felt that Diminor was not playing to his speed when he was serving.
Yeah, which is the general rule that you've got to play to the server's speed.
It turns long from Andreeva. It's another hole for Jasmine Paolini. It's one apiece in the second set. So, yeah, I guess if, as the returner, you are deliberately turning your back and taking too long, eventually the umpire's patience will snap.
Yeah, they can definitely warn them. I think they can definitely say, look, you need to speed up. I just don't know if they're going to actually get a code violation for it. It's a good question. I have to check the rules later.
And the other thing, I don't know if it was with you, I was discussing this yesterday, Simon, but I wish they'd bring in a certain length of time, yeah, for the second service. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think they will. It's something they have tried in the UTS competition, the Patrick Mouratoglou event, where it's an exhibition, but they have very short time between serves, and now they have even less between second serves. I think it's got to be done. I mean, I was talking to a coach the other day who's saying that sometimes, because he's tracking matches on the screen, and you can just stop it, and you can go from point to point, and sometimes you can see it's 20 seconds sometimes.
Yeah. They need to deal with that. We know we've got to speed things up, make sure this wonderful sport remains relevant with a new, younger generation who perhaps lack the patience of the past. This first serve from Andreeva, who's lost the first point of this third game. Backhand reply now from Paolini, mid-court ball. It's hammered inside out. I'm very wary now not to say the off forehand again, which could lead to further pregnant pauses. Mid-court ball once again. Double-hander from Paolini. She was going back across to the backhand wing of Andreeva, and it leads to another error and potential disaster in a sporting context for Andreeva if she was to go a breakdown early in this second set. Having lost the first by 6-3, it will start to be a long way back, a lengthy haul up the face of the mountain.
She's taking a little bit of extra time, which is sensible.
And looking to serve out wide to the right-hander's forehand, but you heard the call. It was into the tram lines. And the second serve is into the net. That is the first double fault of the contest. And it comes at a most inopportune moment for the 17-year-old because now she faces three break points.
She just took a ball from the ball boy and just walloped it into the net instead. Got to be careful with smacking the ball around. Oh. And she, Andreeva's come close before.
Yeah.
Smacking the ball into the stands.
Yes. You have to be so aware of that. Because, of course, if in a moment of anger you flick a ball away and it hits somebody, you're out. Oh, she was nearly out of this game. That second serve must have been right on the line. The return is long. So Andreeva is clinging on by her fingertips in this particular game.
Julia says you can definitely get a time violation while returning, but your behaviour has to be pretty egregious to get it. I was at Siegerman v. Goff at the US Open last year, and Siegerman was stalling on return a lot. She eventually did get a time violation, leading to many cheers. Well, I bet it did. That's good to know.
Oh, I think I might sneeze in a moment. Andreeva with a drop shot. Pallini's going to get there. Andreeva reads it and angles a beautiful, cute little backhand volley into the open court to win a point after a nice little exchange at the net.
She's wiping her nose as well, Andreeva. But that was a really nice hand. She's got good volleys, good sort of feel at the net as Andreeva just played the backhand volley right across Pallini, who I don't think expected it to be quite that good. She's living dangerously. That's a really great second serve and a stunning volley to save these break points.
Yeah, still another one to deal with. That first serve is long by quite a distance, so Pallini, well, she starts to come forward for her return position and then backs off again and gets into a position to play an inside-out forehand, which leads to a really poor plus-one error into the net. Andreeva is broken. She looked up at a box. She puts a hand up onto her head. That was a nothing shot, but could have very significant consequences.
Just banged her racket down by her bench as well. It was actually sort of, I think sometimes when you, clearly she's probably a bit nervous and a bit tight because that return, she had time to run around it and hit a forehand, but she sort of waited for it and then the ball took a little bit of an odd bounce and she missed the backhand. And that's a sort of sign that you're not moving and thinking as well as you might be.
Well, Alison Hughes is going to be angry because she's had to come down off her chair again, this time not because of Jasmine Paolini's curiosity over a line call, but I think something has gone wrong with the camera.
Oh, dang.
Andy Murray won't be surprised about that. So a gentleman appeared from nowhere and started fiddling around with wires on the Alison's back, and she's not looking entirely comfortable.
Well, I was going to say those chairs, they're very well built and everything, but they're quite sort of precarious.
Yeah.
Quite high up.
Yeah. I mean, I've asked this, I think, most people. Have you ever seen an umpire fall out of the chair, primarily when they're coming down to have a look at a mark?
I've seen them slip on the stairs going up it.
Right.
I mean, it's obviously hilarious, but it could be quite painful.
It could be dangerous.
Yeah.
I know it's very childish of me, but I always kind of hope I'm going to see it happen.
Well, if they keep getting her down to have a look at marks, that'll increase the chances.
Yeah. So it's Pallini with the break, setting a break up. She's in a dream world, but she has to stay in the present, and she mishits that forehand that balloons out of the court.
Vishal says, I think there's a difference between inside-out forehand and offside forehand. Inside-out forehand was kind of introduced by Steffi Graf. Well, I think before that, before her, Vishal, there were plenty of people who played a sort of cut forehand, almost with slice.
Well, we had a succession of forehands, however you'd like to describe them, at the start of this rally. It ends, though, with the backhand down the line going wide off Andreeva's racket.
Yeah, still missing too much. Maybe going for the big shot too soon.
Whatever happens, Andreeva will climb to 23 in the world. If she does lose today, she'll be up to 16. She makes the final and finishes as a runner-up. She puts that forehand return into the net, and should she get to the final and beat Iga Świątek, she would be 14 in the world. And remember that this time last year she had to get in as a qualifier, made it through to the third round.
Feels like she's boiling up a little bit. She's got to be careful, try and stay calm.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
She's just 17.
I know. No one's going to blame her, but if she's to have a chance, she's got to keep her head here because she'll know then that the Paolini is bound to get nervous as she gets close to a maiden Grand Slam final. She may be 28, but this is uncharted territory for her as well. Backhand to backhand, good striking from both players. And now forehand to forehand, shorter ball. Paolini goes deep, slice on the forehand from Andreeva. A lot of slice on the backhand from Paolini, having to stretch across now on her backhand side. That's better from Andreeva. She forces the error, showed more patience, and got the just reward.
She's really trying to keep herself calm, but that was exactly that. She was well, it was really well played, especially the short slice. It wasn't a drop shot, but it was just a slice that made Paolini stop what she was doing, slice the ball, and then Andreeva was able to attack down the line. So, yeah, she's thinking smartly, which is a good sign. Neil Skupski out there watching.
Neil, who was runner-up.